It is Swolecast Draft Day 2023. Lots of other fantasy shows out there taking the offseason off. Not us. We just grind. We just grind. And this is one show that, that it's going to be a grind, hopefully. We got anonymous bettors moving betting markets for the number one overall pick. Who knows what's going to happen the rest of round one and into round two. But luckily... luckily, we've got a guy on the show formerly known as Pat the Poor. He's been on the past two draft shows on Swolecast and would, you know, he'd break down all that you need to know about the NFL draft. Now he's Patty Millions after his big $2 million win. So has that changed his work ethic? Has that changed the grind that he is doing on the draft? Who knows? Does money change you? Maybe. Notorious profile clicker Pete Overzet says that
is this Pat, a cold open?
But yeah, Pat Corain doesn't follow the Swolecast Twitter account anymore. So speaking of Pete, we've got some hand in the mulch takes from other Twitter accounts saying that he is living a little in his own best ball draft. So that's and so much more coming up on the Swolecast here at RotoGrinders.com.
You came static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Give it to the guy with the crypto dreams, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
I put no research into this. Don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show. One.
You know me. I don't do a ton of research before the show.
Bro, live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
Welcome to the Swolecast. Davis Matic, Peter Overzet. I'm David Kitchen, and our special guest, Patrick, Patty Millions, Corain. Pat, how's it going?
It's going good. Yeah, excited to join after, you know, Big Cat turned you down and a number of other prominent guests just had shown no interest. I assume, you know, I'm glad to be here.
We have you are above the like Big Cat on the ladder. Yeah, like you, Big Cat hasn't won $2 million in a.
I don't know. His Barstool equity. A couple careers.
He didn't win that. He didn't win that. He earned that, right? So
that's better.
There was no chance in that. That was all him. So, yeah, but Pat, we're excited to have you on. Davis, how are you doing?
You know, we're just living. We're living the dream, Dave. Yeah. We're living the dream. I get paid to do what I love. Yeah. I sit at home in my oversized Carhartt t-shirt all day. Yeah. It's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful day to be alive.
Making content across a ton of different mediums. Yeah. It really is a glorious time to be alive.
Yeah. And Pat is now like, he's just doing whatever, just content creator, just going on whatever streams ask him
I think we all sort of unilaterally share the same dream, which is to win a contest large enough to both provide us a nest egg in case we fail, but to also give people a hook to sign up to pay for our opinions. I think that just sort of goes across the board to everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Davis, scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for this draft? Like compared to other drafts.
So I would say I'm like a 7 out of 10 for this draft. Couple things. First is that it's in Kansas City, but it didn't work out for me and my buddies to like get like a, you know, go to it basically. Like, people don't want to admit this about Kansas City. It's relatively small compared to where they normally do this. Like the area where they're doing the NFL draft is like the size of a football field, you know, and they've done a lot to the city to make it more accommodating and everything. But the economic reality of that is to get anywhere close, to get anywhere near to where you could like hear the picks being announced for Thursday night is like you're paying like $300 a head,
Davis,
to get like
Davis,
the table.
You have made a critical mistake. We have NFL connections that actually like watch this show. This like these connections got me into the front stage of the draft in Nashville 4 years ago.
It is.
You have not because you ask not. All right. Let's get to Peter Overzet. Peter, how are you today?
Yeah, no, I did want to do some table setting, just kind of what this episode is going to be about. Yeah. And I know everyone wants to talk about BBM4 right now. We just had the full prize structure release, but I want you guys to know that today is about the Swolecast delivering the definitive in only 2023 NFL draft preview. And guys, I've been refreshing my podcast feeds, my YouTube subscriptions. And it truly
is anyone talking about this?
No, they aren't. We're the only people in the entire industry who are covering this pivotal event. And I think it goes without saying, but we've been grinding our cocks off, maybe even down to a nub around here with NFL draft research. And, you know, to further signal that we aren't fucking around, we are bringing in an offensive line prospect guru, Patrick Twain, to help us break down this class. And now I know a lot of this massive audience might not know Pat, but you're going to know him after today, because as far as I'm concerned, this guy has a one bullet resume, and that's O-line expert. So be sure to get your offensive line questions into the chat. We'll be sure to pass them along. But for the next, I don't know, 53 or 54 minutes, I do have a hard out at 3:30. We will be doing a 7-round, 259-pick mock draft from the 101 all the way to Mr. Irrelevant, 3rd-round reversal. You also must say the name, spell it, and repeat the name for each pick, but you can ask me to use the player's name in a sentence. Kitchen, you're on the clock.
On this mock draft, I have the Titans trading up for the number one overall pick
for all the first round picks.
That's what we're doing. So thank you, Peter, for that. We got
I want to follow up on Peter's bit. I got an anonymous text message this morning from an industry source that said, is anyone interested in listening to a 2-hour podcast that is just a mock draft of the first 10 picks of the 2023 NFL draft.
Is that what you did with Gretsch the other day?
We got in a cool 70 minutes and we did the whole first round. We got out nice and tight.
Well, at the end, it was a little, Gretsch was like, I don't know who to pick here. And then Davis had some thoughts.
We got to like pick 25, and I was like, the Giants literally don't have a center on their roster. You got to take one of these big beefy guys from the Big Ten. And Gretsch was like, all right, I'm sold.
I'm in. Wisconsin center, let's go. He put down center as his pick for center. The Giants.
Like, it is pretty insane, though, that yesterday we had Will Levis go from 50-1 odds at number one overall to like 4-1 because of an anonymous Reddit post. Like, there's so much uncertainty, and people are just clinging to whatever. And a lot of it's like their own team. It's, you know, what they want to see. And I just have no clue how picks 2 through 31 are going to go tomorrow. And I think that's what makes it so exciting for me.
I mean, it feels like we're ripe for a trade, right? Whether it be the Vikings, whether it be the Raiders, like it feels like there's some team out there that really is horny for one of these quarterbacks, Stroud, Levis, Bonk, Richardson. And it, my sense from the reporting is that the Texans were like, Lovie Smith screwed us, won that game. Bryce Young was the only guy we wanted. The Panthers know that. They're not wavering. So if they don't want Stroud, what do they do?
I also think, you know, you've got the Cardinals right behind them, and I think they could probably be looking pretty hard at Paris Johnson Jr. or Broderick Jones. Both those guys are pretty strong tackle prospects, but not really worthy of the 3rd-round pick. So you got to trade down. You got to trade down.
Yeah. Well, the rumors are that Kyler really wants – I see this floating out there that Kyler really likes Paris Johnson. So – I don't know. Take that for whatever it's worth.
Don't say Paris and get this guy started over here.
Hey, just a request, Pat. Just keep your eyes on the camera, because I kind of see you.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you see looking at the computer screen. So,
this is all in my brain.
Yeah. Do you think? Let's just start it off. Like, do you think that the Titans, they go? Quarterback?
Let's start it off with the most logical spot to start. Let's start right at the top.
They hold the key. The Titans hold the key to everything at pick 11. Yeah. The whole draft.
New GM.
Just on the Titans.
New GM. I just want to get your thoughts on this. New GM. He can pull the trigger and trade up for for Richardson, right? Like this one of the common trade ups, or if Stroud falls, or could trade for Trey Lance, really could trade back and trade a second round for Trey Lance. Could some mocks have him drafting the first wide receiver off the board in Jigba? So would you do that as a GM, Pat, or would you take what? This
you said like four things?
Yeah, like one of those.
You think the Titans better as a GM? Let me
get, would you do that?
Let me get to the question. Would you do that, or would you go safe and get a guy like Peter Skoronski? Because I'd trade your time as GM is not.
I'd go get Anthony Richardson, man. Just go do something fun. I really like Rich Rebar's take, which is that Richardson is a high floor prospect because he's such a good runner. And if you put him in a system like the Titans where they'd be doing play action, yeah, it's like, yeah, he's definitely, he could like bust as a passer for sure. But like, he is such a good runner that you're going to be able to run a Titans style offense with him. So, yeah, you know, then if you get, you know, the unlikely outcome that he develops into like a very good passer, I mean, it looks like an absolutely genius pick. But I think even if he's just an okay passer with that rushing ability, I think it makes a lot of sense to trade up for him. So, you know, live a little, go get your guy.
Over Skoronski, like a guy that would just be a starter for 10 years.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Skoronski, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I think Skoronski's pretty interesting for sure. Yeah.
It's sad. This is sad that you don't even know what
quick on the spelling of Skoronski. You say Peter Skoronski, was that his name? Yeah, I think, look, you can't be messing around with Skoronski. Give me a break. Go get Richardson or go get JSN. Do that.
Yeah.
What did we make of the report that came out yesterday that the Titans have quote unquote lost faith in Malik Willis? I thought that was pretty interesting because I thought starting Josh Dobbs in a must win basically playoff right. game yeah. was an indication that yeah. they lost yeah. faith in Malik Willis.
That's like saying someone in a coffin is struggling to breathe right now. It's like, I mean, what are we doing? Once you went to Josh Dobbs, I mean, they were
all these, yeah,
he was dead.
All these Malik Willis dino shares just like, well, there's that last bit of hope for him. Yeah.
Where do you think Tannehill ends up?
See, that's what's interesting is that there's all these like mid-range quarterbacks that
Ryan Tannehill to the Falcons for a fourth round pick. Who says no?
I mean, the Titans probably should say no. He's worth more than a fourth, I think. But
what's he know. Making? What's his cap number?
He's got a big cap number this year, and that's
like
the
around
issue.
30, right? Isn't it?
27. So, 27.
I saw some good. We're doing Reddit fan fiction here in this universe because all the betting odds got pulled. I saw some good Reddit fan fiction that someone's cousin who knows someone who works at a Dunkin' Donuts next to One Patriot Way. Has heard that there's a theoretical framework for a Mac Jones for pick number two swap between the Houston Texans and the New England Patriots.
Wait, they would take Mac
it's,
Jones?
It's something like Mac Jones, the number 14th overall pick, and the 2024 first for
I Mac saw Jones. That being tweeted, yeah.
Yeah.
I
think, Peter, boots on the ground take. I'm hearing some...
Yeah, text your mother-in-law.
Some conflict between maybe Mac and Coach Belichick.
Yeah, I mean that's been brewing in the streets. Definitely talked about that with my mother-in-law over a few different lunches recently. I don't think they're going to get much done for it. Doesn't it seem like one of those situations where it's like, who is, you know, chomping at the bit to acquire Mac Jones, right? He's always going to be worth probably more to the Patriots than he is to someone else. Like, who has a higher eval on Mac Jones and the team that drafted him, you know?
Maybe someone who realizes Kyle that Shanahan. Matt Patricia was doing architecture work for the Patriots last year instead of being this Rudman told me this and it blew my mind. Like, literally,
I heard this.
Matt Patricia did the design for the new Patriots offices because Kraft didn't want to pay someone to do it.
It's crazy.
Instead of designing, instead of AJT knows that Dunkin' Donuts, we have unsourced confirmations that that this fan fiction is true.
All right. What do you guys this think about? Do you think one thing that's interesting to me about the Patriots, it is of my belief that the Patriots should select JSN if he is there. And yet, like NFL,
why do the Patriots need another slot wide receiver?
The Patriots need literally all the fucking help they can get.
They have like the worst offensive line in the AFC. They are, you can never say the Patriots are a lock to take anyone, but the Patriots are like 90% to take an offensive lineman with their first pick.
I think we're overthinking if we're thinking about like, this skill set is redundant with whatever. Like, what is the one thing we've seen that can help mediocre or subpar quarterbacks? Just surround them with as many weapons as possible. JSN is the best weapon at wide receiver in this class. Just fucking go get him. You've whiffed on every single prospect. Now you're going to have a chance to finally get a wide receiver who's good. Why aren't you doing it?
Juju Smith-Schuster pretty clearly showed that you should not be doing anything differently in the draft because he's on your team.
So, funnily enough, so did Sky Moore.
Yeah, literally everyone on the Chiefs other than Kelsey and Mahomes.
Here's the thing, the Patriots
they're not good anymore.
Well, they're not, everyone knows that, but
they're cooked.
It's just that they're so bad at drafting wide receivers, honestly. At a point I wonder if they're just like we don't even want to do this. Like Belichick is like, I've whiffed on 19 wide receivers in a row. I don't think JSN is going to be lucky number 20.
They are ripe to take a tight end in the first round. Like that would be a
well, what if the Packers take Michael Mayer with right before him?
What I want the Packers to do, because they've got like 3 picks in the top 45, I think, is I just want them to take wide receivers with all 3 picks, just to be petty.
It would be such good. That would be extremely like, good content.
Where are you guys at though? Because the wide receiver stuff is interesting, right? Because there are a ton of teams that need them, and yet collectively everyone says this is a bad wide receiver class. I generally agree. But where are you guys at? The line right now set at 3.5 wide receivers taken in round one. Are you guys team over or team under on that?
I think you have JSN, I think Quentin goes, and then the Yahtzee picks are the Bills and the Chiefs at 27.
You don't think Zay goes?
I think if Zay goes, I think he goes at 31 to Kansas City.
I mean, I don't know. Addison feels like such a comfy pick.
Oh, yeah. Addison at 21 to the Chargers. I forgot. That's a lock.
He's so
you're
like.
Saying, so, Davis, you're saying maybe 3.5,
efficient line.
I'm saying it's an efficient line because the Bills and the Chiefs both have other severe needs. It's just a matter of do they want get the wide receiver or not.
I think you also have guys that like should absolutely not be first round picks, like a Cedric Tillman and a Jonathan Mingo, who like at least have like a 2% chance of sneaking in the very last pick if someone trades out. There's been enough hype on them just as big dudes. They're basically just big athletic dudes, but they're like the only two. Because Quentin Johnston isn't a contested catch guy. He's not that guy even.
He solves that though. He'll be the one big bodied guy who goes Mingo will be like pick 48 or something.
Yeah, probably, but
I need to spill the tea on here. People know the the sister account to RG Scores and Odds, and lots of scores, lots of odds, lots of picks. They do pretty well. Well, there's a certain boss that may have been on last week's show or last Swolecast show, Mr. Dan Bach. He posted a 3-unit play on the over.
Wow.
On the over. I'm giving this away for free. So if it hits, just go and subscribe.
Everyone be quiet. Kitchen's delivering a state of the giblets right now. Let's go.
Watch that line move to 4.5 after I say this. Dan, he doesn't post these picks unless he's 100% sure. So
not financial advice.
That's our first lead pipe lock here on the program in a while.
Dude, yeah, nice to get some winners around here for once.
Right. Just letting you guys know that, because like anything over one unit that Dan ever, he's like, he doesn't post all the time. His
they
picks,
call him one unit Dan in the Slack. And so this is
3 units though. That's some confidence. So go ahead and do with that. So what you Dan Locke. Oh my gosh. How do we not call him Dan Locke?
Wow.
That's a good nickname. All right. So as far as CJ Stroud goes, this S2 thing and Brady Quinn, everybody else trying to just tank his stock, how far does he fall?
How far does who fall?
Stroud.
I mean, you know, if there are sickos out there who want Anthony Richardson more, of which I think is possible, but then the interesting thing becomes if the NFL likes Levis more, we could see a Mac Jones-ish fall where he ends up being in the teens or whatever. I don't think that's insane.
Is it possible that all of this Levis stuff is just smoke and these sure. teams are trying to like outsmoke each other? Because like, so we have two things. One is Stroud is falling because of this like new cutting edge test. Okay. And then we have Levis who is supposed to be falling because of like personality and posting back selfies, which seems more likely to actually bother NFL front offices. To me, it's the back selfies. It's like, this guy's not a culture fit. The S2 test.
No,
like,
because nothing.
This is stupid. What does this even mean?
Nothing will trigger an NFL front office more than a quarterback like reading a book or having another interest. And I don't think Levis has ever read a book. Like, I'm going to guess Will Levis has never read a book outside of a class assignment.
Davis, he scored in the 90s on his S2.
What? How is his name pronounced? Am I not saying it right?
I think it's Levis. What do you say?
Is it Levi's? I say Levis. Levis.
You're saying Levis.
Oh.
Whatever.
Leave us alone.
That's very tomato.
I don't know.
Settle down.
Everyone still says Treylon Burks and it's Treylon. That kind of tilts me.
But you have to keep in mind here that Davis is an intellectual, okay? And Davis, he's thinking about interests outside of football in a very intellectual way. Zach Wilson has shown that you can have interests outside of football that are not necessarily reading a book.
You make a good point. Okay? You make a good point,
Instagram corollary here with Levis. It could be a problem.
Yeah, bonk.
You're making a good point.
That S2, that was like, that's throwing some wrenches in people's plans, basically. Because bad it was. It's not that it was like average. It's like, it's really, really bad.
One of the founders from the S2, Kevin Cole played a clip of this on his podcast. One of the founders was on with the PFF guys. And basically was like, the scores you're seeing are not correct. So I think that the S2 stuff might be completely overblown.
It's a false flag. There's a false flag.
But Stroud's camp would be coming out with the actual score if it was like good.
That's probably true.
They can't say it wasn't an 18, it was a 36. Like, still pretty bad, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying.
Imagine if you're Levis, right? Because we have this Reddit rumor that says he's telling his friends and family that he's going. Yeah. Imagine if he's the only person on the planet that knows if this isn't true, that he's not telling of it. It's seeing all of his stock and he's like, fuck, this means no one wants me at all. This is the only thing I am going for me. Like, he has to be shitting bricks if this isn't true.
No,
right now.
I think it's the opposite way. I think he's like, wow, people really like me.
But not if he's not telling people that himself.
Oh, you're talking about telling his family? Yeah, he's not telling
his family.
I'm saying
he's the one person who knows if that's true or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's will be interesting.
He's got a good-looking back.
All right, Bijan. This is like the fourth time you mentioned his back, and we get it. Okay.
I was hoping Pete would pull up the picture again like we did on Chip Chase.
Well, yeah. Kitchen thought that Pat had a screen with a document of offensive line prospects pulled up, but it's just all Will photos Levis of Will back. Levis' back just that he keeps up. Referencing right now.
All right. Let's pull up to another prospect, Bijan Robinson.
Can I bring up someone real quick? Just want to get your thoughts.
Sure.
Your guess,
sure.
Though,
this is your show.
Well, you know, you guys mentioned that, I have the offensive line expertise, which obviously is true, but I did also spend a lot of time on this linebacker class. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. Now, he's a little undersized, okay? And I get the
problem
you know,
in the modern game.
It is a bit of a problem in the modern game, and he's more seen as a run stuffer type. And, you know, at 6'2", 235 as a fifth-year senior, I don't know if that's going to transfer.
That sounds like the Patriots at 14 to me.
Yeah, there you go. I like this Arkansas linebacker by the name of Bumper Pool. Just seems like he'd be a fun addition to any locker room.
Well, the Bills need a linebacker. Like all the, if you Google like Buffalo Bills draft needs and you go to all the fan blogs.
Davis, stop. All... That's not the joke is the guy's name is Bumper Pool.
Well, I was going to say, imagine Josh Allen in the locker room with a guy named Bumper Pool. Like, I feel like that would be a pick that would just make him happy.
Now, okay, Bumper Pool was born James Pool. Okay, so this is not his parents. He, at the age of 16, he changed his first name to Bumper.
Wow,
that's
Matt, you really
good.
Did do your homework for this show.
Hey, man, it's a Swolecast. I'm not going to show up unprepared. What am I, David Kitchen?
Never. All right, let's move on from Bumper Pool to okay. Stop.
Steve's earning his paycheck
today. The gifts were like ready there. I didn't give anybody a heads up on that.
First time. Bijan Robinson. People would say just go ahead and select him top 5, top 10,
what people say, just select him top 5, dude.
To be fair to Dave, Jay Glazer basically tweeted that
it was
last
Glazer
night.
Saying like if he's a top 5 guy, and
he was basically saying positional value, positional value, just live a little on Bijan Robinson.
Jay Glazer stuffing the nerd in lockers, you know?
Yeah, correct. Correct.
But do you see him going top 10?
Atlanta, yeah. But Eric Eager.
Atlanta's not taking him top 10.
Well, Dave, I mean, you have a close personal relationship with Arthur Smith. This is what I told Gretch yesterday. I said, if the balance of power in the Atlanta front office is 49-51, Arthur Smith, whoever the GM, I don't know who the GM of the Atlanta Falcons is, they're not taking him. But if it's 51-49 and Arthur Smith is there in the war room and they're there with Arthur Blank or whatever, they're taking Bijan, because Arthur Smith cannot look at Bijan Robinson in the eye and say, I don't want you. You know, like he wants Bijan Robinson.
So one thing I feel like with the mock drafts is that obviously, like, if you're going to do a mock draft, and I don't do mock drafts, but I understand why no one does trades if they're trying to be accurate.
It fucks the whole thing up. It's hard.
You're never going to project the right trade. So why would you do that? You're just trying to, be as accurate as possible. But in this case, like, I think Bijan might be kind of like over mocked because we're not projecting any trades. Like, Atlanta
feels like a team trades down and takes him.
Yeah, like trade down, or like, I know there hasn't been a lot of buzz about this, but like, if Atlanta could move up pretty cheaply with the Cardinals and get a quarterback, that is so much more appealing than sitting tight and drafting Bijan, and there's a number of teams that could move around in that area. So I don't know. I mean,
do you think they trade up to take a quarterback?
Well,
they
so
should.
As much as, I was kind of half joking with the Cardinals offensive tackle stuff, like that is the rumor that they want to take a tackle, and they probably should trade down. And like, why wouldn't they? Maybe just out of like sheer stubbornness.
You got to see. I don't know. You got to see what Ritter has. Right. And then they signed Taylor Heinicke.
Do you? You have to see what Ritter has. I don't think you do. Go get a better quarterback. Go get Stroud. You can go get Stroud is definitely better than Ritter. I don't care what it is.
Anthony Richardson and Kyle Pitts as teammates have the ability to be the most disappointing pair of teammates in the history of the NFL. Like, it could be like the year will be 2027. These guys will be on their second contracts making like the veteran minimum and we'll be like, look, dude, there's a chance.
I would have 50 Anthony Richardson double stacks and 50 teams that didn't advance out of my single 12 team draft.
Those
teams would be dead for both the regular season and week 17.
But they'd be so fucking fun to draft, Davis.
ETR's working on an EV calc, right? As soon as you draft, and you can just write those up.
You can put zero. This is a good
Laden thinks.
Well, it doesn't work that good for Laden thinks, because you would be really bad at this, David. But what would Anthony Richardson and Kyle Pitts' ADP in this fictional universe where Anthony Richardson is the unquestioned week 1 starter, for the Falcons? Like both top 50 picks.
Easy. I don't think Pitts is budges that much, but Richardson would be what? Like an eighth or ninth round pick?
Peter, I think you really underestimate the thirst people would have. Because it's hard to get excited about Kyle Pitts with Desmond Ridder. It's not hard to get excited. And they went to the same college, so you got were they maybe even overlapping teammates 1 year? I'd have to go look. I think they might have been.
Does that matter though? Because Richardson wasn't doing anything.
Shower narrative, dude. They were on Anthony Richardson was the scout team guy, you know, throwing passes, throwing practice passes to Kyle Pitts. Yeah, you know, Florida Gators.
Yeah, he was. He was there.
Yeah.
He was like a gadget guy his freshman year. He only played a few.
I'm gonna go find a clip of them practicing together.
I think if like the Falcons traded Ridder as part of this, so he's, you know, an unquestioned starter, I think Richardson's ADP would start in the sixth.
Yeah.
And then you just take Kyle Pitts and Desmond Ridder at the 5-6 turn every time.
There you go. Just stack it up.
The one thing I'll say though, Pat, is we did like post combine, we saw Richardson's ADP spike for a second. There were some insane screenshots. And then it like completely settled and came back down to earth. I just didn't feel, and there's enough of the narrative that he is just like a historically inaccurate passer that I just don't know if he would get up to those kind of levels.
I don't know. He just did not have like the offensive.
Mariota had to throw like 9 backbreaking picks before Arthur Smith even looked at Desmond Ritter's direction on the bench. They did a 15 play drive with nothing but run plays before turning the reins over to Desmond Ridder.
That is like, that is just a fact.
That's just true. And
Graham Bateson also brings up like the guy that we've just kind of forgotten about because the draft is getting so close.
Tuttle.
That's good content, Peter.
Tuttle's just shipping tournaments every week. Lamar Jackson, like he could be a chess piece in all of this right after.
Does anyone really believe that though? I don't.
Did you guys not read Settlement's tweet? He already broke the story. He's happy to come back and play with Odell. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to your dynasty teams. Patrick, how are they going?
They're going fine.
How many teams? How many dino teams do you have?
Dude, I think I have like 10, 11, 12, something like that. It's stupid. I need to scale it back.
You only have 10 dudes? How much time do you spend with your I guess she's not your wife, your girlfriend. You must be.
Well, we did just.
You guys are going on dates all the vacation. Time.
Yeah, we did.
I've got like 19, I think.
Oh oof. My gosh. Oof.
They're all bad too. That's what the best part is.
Yeah, it's time to give some of these dynasty teams the big peacock treatment. You get on the line and say, "Hey, we're done." All right.
I think I need to.
Yeah, and then like you could actually sell these teams, and like the owner would be like, "I own the team formerly owned by Patrick Corain."
Like, so you think I can get a premium on my old dynasty teams? You think they'll actually
sure. You said, okay. Like create an NFT for them.
It's like those guys who used to go through like the trash cans at the United Center to find like a banana peel that Michael Jordan had eaten. You know, Pat, this could be you with your old dynasty.
This is a perfect analogy.
That is.
I've got 3, and I'm gonna do at least 2 more this year. I try to do them every other year, but I want to do an auction style draft because the only startup drafts I've ever done.
Let me tell you, my personal experience with that is it's pretty easy for things to get out of hand doing the old auction startup.
What do you mean?
Slow auctions. That's a complicated format. When you put that money in play.
You will make a mistake and you overreact to one mistake. It goes, I have Crane and I are in an auction startup that we did 3 years ago. And I'm like just now getting the reins back on this thing. It's like one of the worst. It's like the worst I've ever played as a fantasy manager. It was bad.
You just said
Davis basically created the template for me, which I just like did the same thing Davis did, but like slightly better.
Well, except you did get screwed because you paid market price for Michael Thomas before.
All right. We don't have to.
No, I traded him away. I traded him away, and I got T. Higgins.
Oh my God, is that true?
Yeah,
no one runs better. No one runs better.
I blame you for sending us down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, I just want to know And I want to know when Davis said like it's a, you know, it's a slippery slope. I thought he meant like on the league itself. It just sounds like Davis, like the rest of his teams, are not very good in that league. Like auction rewards talent.
No, so I would say slow auction. I don't know if we want to get in the weeds on Dynasty slow auction, but when you put money, when you bid on a slow auction, that money is not available. So you will have later in the auction, people are like, if you outbid me on a player, I will send you a rookie pick. I need that money back. Yeah. I need that money freed.
The NFL draft show, we're talking about who the Titans are going to take in Dynasty slow drafts, just to kind of.
Davis talking about Michael Thomas. Pat's bid on Michael Thomas is that's why people watch.
Some things don't leave you, David. Some things don't leave you.
So yeah, if you want to live a little Dynasty startup, let me know. Best ball. So no, nothing during the season. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all of our.
Yeah, I'm not talking to you, Peter, obviously.
All right. So, speaking of live a little, I want to get to this this DM that I got from a guy that said, I'm in a draft with Boomer, Mulchman, Overzet, and he took Jake Ferguson 66 spots early to pair with Dak. Talk about living a little.
He doesn't know that the Cowboys are about to take Michael Meyer in 48 hours.
Hey, God, I've been needing to ask you about this one because I found that draft. I went hunting for it to be like, who snitched on me in here?
Yeah.
And Ron Stewart was in there, but I don't think you're on like DM level. There was JGFC. Was that who DM'd you? Or is this some anonymous username that was in this draft? Out your source right now.
I'm not going to give it up because last week, I received another DM. I'm not gonna say if it's from this person or someone else, and he said now he takes Tim Patrick instead of Claypool when he has Justin Fields. He doesn't practice what he preaches on all of his podcasts.
What fucking sad loser is live blogging my slow draft to David?
He's not live blogging. A live blog means everyone can see it. He is
and keep in mind this could be from multiple people. Okay, he's not confirmed the same source.
It's not the same person. Potentially. So anyways, if you have any drafts with Peter where he is going off the grid or, you know, just doing something that is not tied to his ADP brand, hop in my DMs.
Yeah, be sure. We want Kitchen to be the clearinghouse for every little, you know, missteps I make in my basketball draft.
Who's that that YouTube guy that all he did was investigate like NFT scams? Oh, what was his name?
BitBoy.
What's that?
BitBoy.
No. But like now that NFTs are kind of dying a slow death and everything's kind of a scam, like he doesn't really have much to do. But yeah, I mean, I will be that guy. CoffeeZilla, yes. I will be CoffeeZilla.
Have we gotten David's exclusive thoughts on Best Ball Mania 4's payout structure?
Okay, this Dan and I were talking in the office when it was released yesterday and today, and I am all for flatter payouts. $2 million is not that much more than $1 million. Am I right, Pat?
No, you're wrong.
You're wrong. Sources are saying
double. Yeah.
David, these are not particularly flatter payouts, though. It's 3 million to first, and 100K to third.
It's less flat in the.
It's way less
for the week 17 prizes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's less.
But
flat.
they're giving.
So what
more
were you
to
and Dan
regular...
actually talking about into the office? Now I'm actually curious.
Well, Dan probably looked at it and said the correct thing, and Kitchen was clicking through a 7-round Tennessee Titans mock draft on the Athletic.
We were talking
and was
about
like, yeah, totally, Dan, totally.
Today starts at pick 11.
Today they released like the payout structures with the regular, like the exact payout structures, right? Like 1,000 through 10,000, you get whatever. But yesterday was when they announced the 15 million. And my thing was then, like, instead of having like a 2 to 3 million, I'd rather just take that 3 million top prize and just keep it 2 million and distribute the other million flatter, basically. Like, you could get.
Or even just make it 1.9, you know, and just do flat after that.
Yeah.
Pat wants to go 76 Miami Dolphins on this one.
Yeah.
You know, cheer every year when someone doesn't match 70, his winnings.
72.
Whatever. So, but like, you can get
it's the Lynn Swan era, Davis. Who gives a fuck?
Do we think, okay, this is, do we That's think we'll get up. Another, do we think we'll get, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba is, you know, Newt Rockne style comp on the broadcast for us to laugh about tomorrow night?
Oh, I really please, hope so. Please.
That was my
what
favorite
What broadcast
moment.
Are you tuning into?
Ship Chasing.
Ship Chasing is the one we'll be tuning into.
Where's that at?
Shipchasing.com. I actually wonder if I still have that URL. It might.
You don't. I don't think because I checked and.
Oh no.
Or maybe you do. Maybe you do.
Kitchen. Hey, you better get on it because Kitchen will squat it.
It
let
works.
Me tell you.
Shipchasing.com redirects you to the YouTube. Let's go. I learned Let's that from go. David Kitchen. You always squat on important URLs.
That's right.
Hey, it's all right. I still have winpacks.com that redirects.
It's all right. It could be worse. You could still be doing a show called Club Top Shot.
Did you guys the I don't know what website did it, but the team that the guys that did the expose on Dapper Labs, they did $2 million of volume last month. $2 million of total volume, dude.
No, but this month they're doing better.
Yeah, totally. Like,
no, they are.
Totally.
They are by my
the reporting. Mode. The reporting made it sound like this is now like a criminal investigation. Like they owe money.
They are
to
doing
the
better
NFL
this year,
Players
though.
Association, and they don't month. Have the money. They don't have it.
Kitchen, stop trying to pump your Garland bags. There's a little there's little enthusiasm in the market. Might as well check out my
especially
Garland
after Garland's 30-point performance.
You know what's amazing, Kitchen, is when I dumped every last Top Shot I owned, I was like, at some point in my life, I'm gonna regret this. Yeah. But I don't actually think that's true. I actually think that's like a financial decision that's gonna end up being totally okay.
Yeah. Whereas your never selling crypto decision might be the one that will haunt you forever.
Why would that haunt me?
This Coinbase is going to be moving overseas and no one's going to be able to trade crypto in the US.
That literally makes Bitcoin more valuable, dude.
Bitcoin solves this, Kitchen.
Yeah.
We're going to be going to a Starbucks and paying for our venti lattes with QR codes.
It's clear in that logic that Kitchen never understood the thesis of what he was
buying.
Wait,
is Coinbase? That's actually very bad for crypto if Coinbase is not.
It is. That's Davis doesn't understand. It is.
No,
if the US cracks
you guys,
down on crypto,
you guys
not
are
good.
Thinking. If I can use some poker terminology, you guys are thinking third level here. I need you to open your eyes and go to the ninth level.
Yeah, it's so good for crypto if no one can ever buy it.
If they don't want you to have
more government involvement,
buddy, if they don't want you to have it, that makes it more powerful to own it.
Davis wants the grid to go down to skateboard around fucking St. Louis and buy like protein supplements underneath a bridge with his Bitcoin. That's what Davis wants.
I don't understand why that's such a horrible thing to ask for, dude.
Yeah, because every crypto boom hasn't also been accompanied by, you know, it also being available on a new platform. That, you know, it's like, oh, now they're offering it on your app. You can buy Bitcoin on the app.
But that was the Robinhood Bitcoin and stuff. That was all fake Bitcoin anyways. Those were all Bitcoin IOUs. That's fine, dude. Shake out the weak hands.
I'm not saying
true
that you
believers
should have your...
only.
Okay, but like you can buy Bitcoin and put it on your freaking nano, whatever the hell it's called, the ledger thing.
Ledger.
Crane is now part of the oligarchy, so he has to do the false flag that crypto is actually bad and that we.
I'm not saying that.
He actually has gold bars he's got gold bars in his storage. Like
I'm saying,
Crane knows about the secret of the lizard people now.
No, I'm saying it's helpful to gold that you can buy it. That's what I'm saying. It's nice if you want to be a gold bug that it's available for purchase in a relatively easy way.
Steven, this one is completely unnecessary.
Thank you.
Absolutely unnecessary. I'd rather you be fucking dicking around on Twitter than pulling that up.
Amazing work, Sosa.
All right. Let's move on. We got 15 minutes and Peter has a hard out. We haven't even touched on the tight end class. Three tight ends of the first round. Possibly. Stop. Crane,
what did you make of my what did you make of my Darnell Washington at 28 to the Bengals take?
It's a take so good that I have just decided it has happened. That's honestly how I feel.
Isn't
about
it so perfect?
It's literally perfect. I think Dalton Kincaid and Michael Mayer will be off the board, so it's not a stretch. I think that, you know, it's maybe a little bit of a reach, but like I just love it. You should probably give it because I'm just literally about to paraphrase what you've already said.
But idea is very simple. The Bengals have like three problems. They can't keep Joe Burrow off his ass. They have a 29-year-old third wide receiver who declined in efficiency last year, and they don't have any sort of backups to their wide receivers anyways. Like we saw this last year when T got hurt, they had old good Michael Thomas from when they originally got drafted out there running ghost routes. You know, Trenton Irwin is involved. It's a nightmare. And they don't have a tight end. You know, they have Irv Smith Jr. and Devin Asiasi. I can't remember if it's Asiasi or Keen. Darnell Washington sort of simultaneously solves all these problems because he's the best blocking tight end in the class. You can play more 12 personnel, putting him in there for Boyd, leaving him in the block, and letting Irv Smith Jr. basically be a de facto wide receiver if he's healthy. And because he was so good per target at Georgia, there might be some receiving upside that just didn't get unleashed there because they didn't throw the ball all that much. And he was playing with a generational tight end prospect. I love this take.
Yeah. What about the offensive line, though, Pat? You got Osiris Torrance as an offensive lineman that's probably going to be there at the end of the first round. Like, Bengals need offensive interior help there on the offensive line.
Well, what do you like about Torrance? What do you think his strengths
are? They need tackles more than they need guards, though, David.
Who can even make that distinction reliably?
Didn't they get Orlando Brown? Like, they need an interior.
They need a right tackle. They're starting, I forget the name. I want to say his name is Jonah Williams, but he's like a turnstile. Right. And, like, Joe Burrow is really good. But he is, like, so bad at taking sacks. He's, like, top 20 all-time in NFL history in sack rate. Like, he takes a lot of sacks.
He takes a lot of sacks. And Torrance, I have to say, I mean, he definitely overleans as a pass blocker. His lateral quickness is not great. He's susceptible to swim moves. So I would be a little bit concerned. Just get a guy who can also catch some passes in Darnell Washington.
Yeah. Where did he go to college at?
Osiris Torrance? He went to Florida, obviously.
Yeah. Just to see how quickly you studied that page that you're
you want
on.
Right to hear now. That little scroll button move? Is that what you want?
All right, guys, you guys get to pick where you want to go next. This show has been all over the place.
I want to know.
Kitchen is exhausted from hosting. 47 minutes in, that he's offloading the duty.
I want to know what you guys think the Chiefs are going to do. I'm very, because I obviously, please stop. That was what Gretch said too. I can't
really.
Come on, dude, not Jahmyr Gibbs, please. Like, there are so many reasons I don't want this to happen. One, it'll mean I have 20% of him in Best Ball Mania 4. That'll be bad. but also it's like we lived this experience out and it was terrible.
No, Gibbs is good, though. Gibbs is legit good.
This time it'll be different. Did it work for those other teams?
We knew CH wasn't, like, there were some flaws in his game.
This is revisionist history. He was the 106 in the FFPC main event his rookie year. This is revisionist history.
No, it's not. It's not, because before the NFL draft, he was like the 108 or 109 in rookie drafts. He was not a particularly well-regarded prospect by the dynasty community. I think they more accurately determined how good he was than the NFL did.
I can't. It was just so bad to live through that. I don't want to do it again.
What they should do, I think, is take the best available wide receiver, right? I mean, that's what
unless it's Downs. I don't want Josh Downs on the Chiefs.
Is Josh Downs like, isn't he like a third round type of value? I don't understand. I wouldn't be taking Josh Downs.
Do you think
Jalen Hyatt would be a guy who I could see the Chiefs taking just because what he did at Tennessee, kind of with a deep ball sort of thing. I mean,
I know trading up is not like in vogue and everything, but like I would trade up and get Jordan Addison if I could. That would be fun. I think he'd be so
Jordan Addison is what we wanted Sky Moore to be.
Yeah.
I honestly think Jordan Addison is what they wanted Juju to be. Obviously Juju wasn't, you know,
he's kind of like a Jeremy Maclin or something, you know?
Sure.
And if
vanilla,
they have like
possession,
yeah, Yeah, he's going to do all the crossing over the middle stuff. He can play on the outside and in the slot. I don't think he's just a slot guy, even though he's small. He's really good downfield in college. He's like a professional wide receiver. He's going to make a difference right away.
Who's what's the depth chart right now for the Chiefs, Davis, on the wide receiver?
Well, it's Valdes-Scantling, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Richie James, and they re-signed Justin Watson to like a not-nothing contract. They also have Cornell Powell still is on their practice squad.
You don't
What's
have
up
to
with this Justin Ross eraser, Davis.
Because
I will not buy in.
I just refuse.
I tried last show.
I completely refuse to do this because there are people out there, good people. There are good people on both sides. There were good people drafting Justin Ross in the 18th round last year, despite it being a bad idea, and they're going to do it again.
But he's healthy this year. That's the big thing.
Is he? I would say John Ross has a better chance of being on the active Chiefs roster week one than Justin Ross.
Can I say something? So I first started getting really into fantasy right around the time that Davis Mack was getting going as a fantasy writer. And to see him
as a 14-year-old?
Yeah. To see that 14-year-old just come out, you know, and just be so great out of the gate. And now as I sit here listening to him, have no interest in Justin Ross, who is working out with Patrick Mahomes.
It's sad.
As he touts Tutu Atwell, a literal 155-pound human. I mean, what has happened?
It's right. It's sad. Age, you know, the entropic heat death of the universe spares none of us, Patrick. It comes for everyone.
Davis just
me.
Wants to do the bet, like the same way the underdog will be like, the winner of Best Ball Mania 4 is going to make more than Michael Gallup this year or something. Davis just wants to like players that he can deadlift more than. That's why.
Can deadlift more than Justin Ross. Justin Ross could not see me in the deadlift. No chance.
Make it happen.
I don't even, this is not even a question to me. Like there are certain guys like obviously who could do like twice what I can. I bet Justin Ross's doctors are like, if you deadlift, you might die. Like not even not in your career. It might just end you.
Doctors recommended that he doesn't do basic lifting exercises.
Doctors have recommended that he doesn't challenge Davis Maddock to a deadlift competition.
Correct. Cause it's not going to end well for him.
All right, let me ask my guest another question since Dave is done hosting.
Dave is logged out. Got past pick 11 and he's Dave, like, I have no opinions.
Are you rewatching your Dairy
no,
King video right
I
now?
Found, I'm trying to find I was trying to find a picture of Davis back when he was real little. I found something that I haven't seen in a long time. And I was trying to get that to the powers that be.
How about this one? Pat, where would you like to see Quentin Johnston go? Because he's a guy that I feel like has a wide range of where he could go. First round, slip out of the first round. Like, what do you think happens there?
I would like, if let's say like Houston maybe moves back with their second pick somehow, because I don't think they would take him that high. Or maybe, you know, in the second round, they get Quentin Johnston. I would like him in that type of system where it's more about yards after catch. Mike Renner's comped him to
why I have that in a folder on my computer. I do.
It's funny because I just look the exact same, like to this day. Like there's just no, just because I just shaved too. So like I could do this in the black t-shirt and the hat and you'd be like, yeah, it's literally just the same guy.
Someone just put the white meme text on that says, fuck Justin Ross. Well, we attempted to talk Quentin Johnston.
Yeah.
We
did really try. I was gonna say Renner's compared him to Brandon Ayuk, bigger Brandon Ayuk.
What would be
that's kind of the appeal?
What would be your order of receivers, Patrick?
I mean, if I was drafting, it would be JSN, Jordan Addison, Quentin Johnston, and then probably Zay Flowers.
I think that's probably the order they'll go in. The Lions are a wild card for wide receiver, right? No, big NFL is all in front of this. Like Peter King is saying, the Lions are drafting a wide receiver. You know who their starting wide receivers are going to be when they line up to throw in the first week of the season? Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, who's got to be like 30 at this point. I feel like he's been a Lion my entire adult life. And then, spoiler alert.
He's traded there a year ago. It's on the Rams.
Marvin Jones Jr. Marvin Jones Jr. is back in action for the Detroit Lions. Like, that's what they're trying to do. I just
what's up with this Khalif Raymond?
Yeah, what about Khalif Raymond, dude?
What's he get? He's the slot guy. Amon-Ra St. Brown is. He's not taking St. Brown off.
I just wanted to say Davis was erasing another player on the depth chart. It's all right.
Well, and their other depth wide receiver, they just had to cut him because he got suspended for a year for sports betting. Quintus Cephas could have seen snaps.
That's why
Tuttle's not on the show. On the show.
He didn't want to take
Tuttle's
that
not
out.
On the show because he was the one who was feeding Quintus Cephas bets to pay off his infamous comment that Quintus Cephas would be a better NFL player than Jonathan Taylor.
Dude, I see BSB in the chat saying, wasn't there buzz on Flowers being the first wide receiver drafted? Daniel Jeremiah claims he'll be the first receiver. Can we just say, like, draft Knicks absolutely fucking suck if Zay Flowers goes ahead of JSN? Like, that would be criminal.
Yes.
It just wouldn't make any sense.
That's also what will make it so fun. Just embrace the live a little strategy on Thursday and Fridays. All I ask, no one get like too judgy.
No one get too judgy about what these teams do. That's literally what
hey,
we
all do. If some team wants to take Bijan Robinson,
it's an industry
don't be so
based on judging them.
Yeah, just trust them and have fun with it. If the Bears draft Bijan, then say, hey, this is going to be really fun. Whoever drafts Bijan, this is going to be fun. Don't be like, what they should have done.
I would feel bad for Justin Fields if they skip an offensive lineman to take Bijan. I'd just be like, what are we doing here?
This is the this is the picture I haven't seen in forever. But you can't see unless you zoom in. Like Davis's mustache, he does have a mustache here, and it's just a classic.
I saw that photo today because Davis connected with me on LinkedIn, and that is Davis. Can I ask you a question? Was that profile picture set unironically way back in the day, or is that more recently been set ironically?
Oh, it's unironic.
Unironic.
It's
like
a Levitan, right? It seems
like
this is me. I'm never changing.
What am I doing? I'm updating my LinkedIn profile picture.
You sent me an invite today. You're clearly sprucing up.
I haven't logged on to LinkedIn in eons, and I accepted every friend request I had and then added everyone that was a suggested connect.
Okay.
I thought you just got to the very end of your to-do list, which is to add Pete on LinkedIn.
I just noticed my bio on LinkedIn is I make videos and podcasts about fantasy sports, NFTs, etc. Got to remove that NFTs part. Jesus. Ooh, little eraser there. Forget that happened.
Oh. Man, do you remember that 6-month period where we were just all in on NFT content? I wish I could erase all that shit from the interwebs, not because I'm embarrassed about it, but just because that's so bad for... Like I invite someone on my podcast, right? And they go through and they scroll through the episodes and they're like, oh, we got some authors, pro skateboarder, some Brian Hooper, you know, I don't know about that. And then they get to like the NFT episodes with Andy and they're like, nope, not doing this show. Like, no chance.
Didn't you just define embarrassment?
more so for like booking guests, honestly. Yeah, I just don't want that out there.
They say time heals all wounds. And so like, you know, I used to feel like pretty upset, you know, about like paper handing Bored Apes and only making.
And now you know they actually were worthless.
Yeah, and so like now it's just like I made money off of NFTs. I made money off of NFTs. Like
I'm proud of you,
now man. It feels like a win, and I forget about the millions that I could have made. Pete, how are the Moonbirds?
Well, I'm glad you asked because we just hit our Diamond Ness exhibition where I received a day one pass, which basically means I haven't sold this fucking thing for far too long. And I just got to rank order my preferences on a cohort of art that I could win, potentially a Beeple that could be worth moderately generational wealth or a bunch of dust. So that's where I'm at right now with my Moonbirds, Dave.
Peter, you sure you don't want to share it and sell that at 40 ETH? Are you kidding me? We're at the floor. All right. Let's wrap this puppy up. Pat, it's been really fun having you on. Having a fourth guest that is not adjusting his soccer EPL lineups during the show.
Hey, I adjusted mine and you guys didn't even know.
What's worse, adjusting EPL lineups or staring nonstop at Will Levis back photos? I would argue it's fairly comparable.
Also, shout out to Tuttle.
One's better for content.
Shout out to Tuttle. He has, since the end of the Swolecast regular season, he's just been crushing everything. Like, I don't know if we'll ever get him back. Hopefully.
It's incredible.
All right. But Pat, any closing thoughts, and let people know where they can find your newsletter?
Yeah, let me just congratulate you, because you did talk about when I asked you to repost that fleet. I said, you know, I've just been thinking about that fleet, which was honestly just true. I was on a ski trip, and I just randomly thought about the fleet and wanted to see it. I fired that off. You responded back with that you felt like a puppet. And I honestly did. I was like, oh, God, did I? am I jerking Kitchen around here, making him repost his fleet? And then to hear, of course, you had it. You had it in the back pocket. It was well played by you.
I was waiting for someone to ask me about that, please. All right, and where can we find
along those lines, Kitchen? When you posted your home improvement project, all that fence, were you trying to kind of like up me, like saying like, oh, you're just lugging mulch around? But
trust me, I used to have my own landscaping business. That was much harder than, you know, shoving a few pounds of mulch around.
Right, I get it. You were trying to big time me there. But I gave you the retweet, Kitchen. I just want you to know that was a little pity.
You
favor.
Only gave me the retweet because I mentioned your newsletter, and okay.
Kitchen, do you have any newsletter jealousy here? The three newsletter bros, and
it's coming. I'm just taking notes from all y'all's newsletter, and so when I have the newsletter, you know, it's like Facebook. You know, it wasn't the first social media site. It was like the, you know, 11th or 12th.
You'd release as frequently as you send out Swolecast shirts, Dave. Let's not kid ourselves.
I'm not in charge of sending Swolecast shirts. But if you leave a comment, we'll pick a comment next week and we'll get... Yes, I will. Next time we're on, leave a comment. But Patrick, can you please just tell us where you're
sitting? Yeah, legendaryupside.com. I'm running a early bird special, $69 for your first year. There's some additional perks coming. Next week, I'll announce that as well. Also doing a 30-day trial until the NFL draft. So you got a few days if you want that sweet 30-day trial. I've got all my rookie content, and I am dropping best ball rankings next week as BBM4 launches.
Additional perks. Say no more. That's how I bought 4 man's coins back in the day. So sounds good. Davis, final thoughts.
I just hope Kansas City doesn't take a running back in round 1. Just please, man. Not this.
I would love it.
Can we get the Davis photo with the picture of CEH next to it?
Yeah. Oh, very appropriate.
All right. And Peter.
Yeah. Looking forward to the draft. My one bold prediction is Bumper Pool sneaks into the first round.
All right, guys, it's a pleasure. We're on the road to 10K, though I think YouTube's their site's messing up because we're still stuck on 4,800 something. So prove me wrong and let's get to 4,900. You know, hit that like
button. The road to 10K.
Subscribe and let's get it. But honestly, I would do this show for free. You know, that's how much I enjoy.
Did you hear that, one unit, Dan?
One unit, Dan already knows that I do the show for free. So
there we go.
That will be it, though, for this Swolecast. Thanks to Pat. Thanks to producer Sosa for just bringing the absolute fire today. To Rob Coakley for the intro. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see you next time here on the Swolecast and RotoGrinders.com. Peace.